Inspired fans, thank you guys for tuning in to another fantastic week of the Voice of the Fans podcast. As always, this is your man Cam. I am joined by Young Sam. How you doing, Young Sam?
Doing fantastic tonight, Cam. How about yourself?
I'm good. Tonight we got a special guest. We got Kahari Jones. How you doing, Mr. Kahari?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Let the people know, Kahari, where you from, who you working with, and what you got going.
Yes, well, again, my name is Kahari Jones Jr. I'm an NBA reporter. Also, I'm a contributor to the LA Sentinel. I have my own media company, Motivated Purpose Network. And, you know, I'm just excited to be here to talk to the NBA.
So we're going to do this, man. You got to keep it real with me, too, because I know.
I ain't biased.
Yes, man. No bias. Leave your bias at the door. Some people have a hard time doing that, Kahari, believe it or not.
Yeah, who's that? Who's that?
Just some people on the show have a hard time. You know, they kind of focus on one particular team and one particular player, but we're going to get to that later. As always, fans, we start with, we're supposed to record this yesterday, so shame on me, February 12th. We're going to go with February 12th, week 75, because this is week 75. We're not going to mix up the numbers. Although, just to throw it out there, it is February 13th, and we know who the best number 13 is. There's no question about that. However, we're going to roll with number 12, and who wore it best, Mr. Cleavon? I got Jim Kelly, John Stockton, and I ain't even going to give you Mark Langston. So I done covered all the bases as the best person to wear number 12 in sports. Kahari, do you have anyone better than that?
I'll have to think about it, but for right now, I do like John Stockton.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, I got a lot of respect for John Stockton.
When you think of the number 12, who are the best, Mr. Cleavon?
You know, Cam, as much as I have to hate to say it and as reluctant as I am to do this, I have to go with the GOAT, TB12, Tom Brady.
Come on, man. I left him off for a reason. You know that, right?
Oh, I know, because of the angst and the anguish that you've been feeling for the last 20 years since he's been a Patriot quarterback.
I mean, those days are over. Of him dominating the AFC East, and he might even be in the AFC West this year for all we know. We'll see what happens. But number 75, I think there's really only one person who kind of set the standard at the defensive tackle position, and that's Mr. Deacon Jones. Who do you have that wore number 75 best?
I would have to give it to the sack master, Mr. Deacon Jones, as well, as far as who wore that number the best. No numbers really come to mind. That's a tough one to kind of grasp, but, yeah, I believe he definitely wore it the best.
I mean, Mean Joe Green was a close second. Lincoln Kennedy, Husky offensive tackle, DeMarco Farr, Husky defensive lineman, both of those guys were – DeMarco Farr, anyway, Super Bowl champion, so both of those guys wore it pretty well as well. So not take anything from them, but I think Deacon Jones set the standard as being the guy. So we're going to jump into, as we know, last week was a NBA trade deadline, a lot of trades that went down.
Yeah, man.
Marcus Morris goes to the Clippers.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves, they traded Wiggins for D'Lo. We had the Heat trade for Andre Iguodala. Got rid of Winslow. That's kind of a surprising move on my part. I thought it was. And then we know Draymond Drummond got shipped to the Bulls after he said he wanted to stay with the Pistons. The next day they said, okay, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, I thought he was with the Cavaliers. He's with the Cavaliers.
No, he was with the Pistons, wasn't he?
Right, he was with the Pistons.
But he got traded to the Cavaliers, not the Bulls. Yeah, my mistake. So, Cleavon.
Yes, sir.
The Lakers didn't make any moves, so. So you can't throw the Lakers in there. What was the best move of the week? What was the best move of the trade deadline, in your opinion?
You know, to me, it was the Golden State Warriors moving D'Angelo Russell and getting what they find in a resurrection project in Andrew Wiggins. I think given the right environment, he could be just fine and, somewhat begin to scratch the surface of his potential. And all they had to do was give up D'Angelo Russell, and he's kind of a redundant to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson once they're healthy. So I think they had the best move.
Let me rephrase the question. I'm not sure you understand the question. I'm not sure you understand the question, Kahari. What was the best trade of the trade deadline, sir?
I say again, D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins. Do you have a different
opinion?
Come on,
cut it out. Cut it out.
Do you have a different opinion that you would like to share with the audience?
Well, I'm going to let Kahari jump in here. Kahari, you let the people know what you feel was the best trade of the trade deadline. I just mentioned about four or five trades. There was a couple more in there. What do you feel was the best trade of it?
We got to be real. I got to agree with Cleveland. Simply because that was a great move. Like, Wiggins, he's going to learn better. Everybody wanted Wiggins to be this big superstar, which he probably wasn't. And it's not too late for him to be a superstar. Well, I ain't going to say a superstar, but he can be a star because he fits right in with the Warriors. He needed to grow up. He came into the Timberwolves by himself. You know what I mean? He didn't have no type of veteran leadership. Him playing under Steph, he's already playing better within two, three games.
So it's not with Steph or
without
Klay.
Without Steph
or Klay.
But it's the organization. Like, what are you going to do with the Timberwolves organization? You're not going to learn anything. You know what I'm saying? You're going into a whole different environment. He's already – you can tell he's going to fit right in perfectly with Steph and Klay as soon as they get back.
So he went from out of the playoffs to another team out of the playoffs. And you guys want to convince me that that's the best trade of the
– We're thinking about for the future. We're thinking about for the future. But what is the Heat – what is Andre Iguodala going to do with the Heat? He's gonna bring better leadership.
He's going to be better in leadership. And that makes him more solid in the playoffs. That makes him more solid in the playoffs, that does. What about Marcus Morris?
I haven't seen anything yet. What Cleveland, what you – I haven't seen anything yet. He missed four or five threes that one game. You know what I'm saying? He only had about 13 points. I didn't see anything yet.
You don't think
I appreciate you co-signing what the value of a trade really is. And not necessarily which one of the contenders do you think got better, which is what I think Cam was trying to allude to. But like you're saying, Kahani, so far we haven't seen what the, you know, the impact of Marcus Morris being on the Clippers really does. I believe they're 1-2 or 1-3 since the trade, so you can't really say that's, you know, the biggest trade and the most impactful of the deadline.
But conversely, you're telling me that there's already been an impact with Andrew Wiggins going to the Warriors.
Yes.
Oh, come on, get out of
already.
Here.
Already.
You just said, Kahari, that you're waiting to see what he does when he matches up with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry.
We're not thinking about that now.
You just told me that. You told me that.
Wiggins has played the best out of Iggy and Morris. This is just a trade. Individually. We're not talking about wins and all like that. Individually, he has played the best. You've seen him. How can you cannot argue with that? He's having fun out there. He's having fun.
He goes from a team out of the playoffs to another team out of the playoffs. There's no pressure on him. There's no expectations. So, sure, you can say he's playing the best because there's nothing. What are they playing for?
He wasn't doing that. He wasn't doing that with the Timberwolves, though. He was inconsistent. He's
been inconsistent. I bet if you look at the numbers is inconsistent. So, yes, the numbers have been inconsistent. I'm talking, but there's no impact, though. He's not making them a playoff team.
We're not saying that. That's not what they're looking for.
That was a question.
They're planning for next year.
Oh.
They're looking at. Okay.
So you are looking to the future.
To get
some value out of that, impact out of the trade.
Because that's another. That's another discussion. Because people think the Warriors are counted out. They done. This season is done. You wrap this up. Throw it away.
That's why that trade was not impactful.
It was. Come on.
Now next year. Next year, will you say that trade has some impact? So, Cleveland, okay, I got some more coaching up to do with this guy. Sure, I brought him on because I know he covers the basketball. He covers the Lakers. You had all the Laker games, right?
Yeah.
All the Clippers games. So, I know you're familiar with the league. You're on your way to New York. So, I know you're – or excuse me, Chicago, thank you. I know you're on your way to Chicago to cover the All-Star game. So, I think you need a hat with the jacket, though.
It's pretty cold.
So, I know you're knowledgeable about the game. But most impactful trade, it has to be Marcus Morris and what he's going to bring to the Clippers in the short near future, not next season. And that's I have to ride with that. So you guys been outvoted. Cleveland. So you're going to say that was the best trade. So we established that.
We established what? That wasn't the Clippers. We didn't establish that.
Well, my next question was what was the best trade? I was asking what was the most impactful trade. that had happened in the deadline. So my next question was the best trade. And so both of you guys, for some reason, believe that Andrew Wiggins going from the no playoff bound Timberwolves to the no playoff bound Warriors was the best trade. So I don't know how you factor that. I mean, both teams are not going to the playoffs.
Because this season is over. You know what I'm saying? With them, they're thinking about the future again.
So in the future,
you're playing with Steph. He's good. You're playing with Andrew Wiggins.
I believe that was not a bad trade. And some people, Cleveland, what do you think? I believe that wasn't a bad trade.
So from the perspective that you're trying to come from, Cam, I think that the most impactful trade was the Houston Rockets trading Capella and getting Covington back, because they're completely committed to the small ball philosophy, and we can see that if Harden and Westbrook are on their game, it can work and it can be quite deadly. I think that it puts too much pressure on you as a jump shooter to constantly have to make shots. If you don't have any post presence whatsoever, then people can just drive by you and there is no line of defense. So if Harden and Westbrook can go for 40 a night, which I'm not even going to lie and say that they're not capable of doing that, because they certainly are, then they're a problem. I think that potentially gets them to a Western Conference Finals. Now, with your thing, you keep throwing Morris in our faces, but we keep telling you that, man, that move was not as impactful as you're trying to make it out to be. He doesn't bring that much that they already didn't have, and so far, in playing the upper echelon teams, we haven't even really seen it pan out. They lost in Philadelphia. They lost to Phoenix. It's not like they're blowing teams out now that they have Morris. He's not the X factor, if you will.
I think they did give Cleveland their worst loss of their franchise.
Cleveland, bro.
So, I mean, he just said they're not blowing people out. I think they did give Cleveland.
Okay. So they're one and two with that win over Cleveland. Okay.
Okay. No, I hear what you're saying. That is more impactful because that impacts the team. That impacts the team going forward in the near future versus what I'll give you credit. The Houston move, and I didn't have that on my list. That Houston move was pretty impactful as well. Getting rid of Capella, I mean, it leaves everybody guessing and questioning what the heck was going on. But since they did that, they've been playing pretty good basketball. In fact, they beat up on somebody's number one team in the Western Conference here just a few nights ago. So, yes, that move has been pretty impactful. So, thanks for bringing that one up. So if that's the best move, I'm not sure that's the best move because everybody still has a question mark around that, and they're waiting in a wait-and-see mode.
Well, let's not underestimate this Miami Heat trade, though, with Andre Iguodala.
Again, that's going to be impactful in the playoffs.
Right.
As for right now, that's kind of iffy. I mean, that's kind of hedging. That's not 50-50. I think Morris will be more impactful, but Iguodala, Miami is playing good basketball, period, as we saw a couple nights ago. That adds more veteran leadership to that squad. Somebody now that that dog that Butler can play with. So
yeah,
that's definitely a certain trade.
Along with Zay Crowder. But I didn't like what the Miami Heat did the other day. They needed scoring, and they had the young boys that been scoring on the bench in the fourth quarter. But they had Andre in his second game, and they lost. Like when they needed scoring.
They're trying to cater to the veteran. I got you.
Now, let them sit on the bench for a couple of days.
So, Cleveland, does any trade now, does that change your favorite? I had Houston actually win in the West. I thought they were going to have the best record in the West. With the trade, I can't really go that way any longer. Does that any trade change your favorite in the NBA?
There was no trade that transpired at the trade deadline that changed my mind on who the NBA champion is going to be, no.
Okay, how about you, Mr. Carr?
Wait, hold on, Cleveland. Who's going to be your NBA champion?
Oh, by the way, it's going to be the Los Angeles Lakers. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know about that.
Not you. Cleveland is a bandwagon Laker fan.
Yeah.
And right. So has been since I don't know how long. I don't know how he jumped. I don't know how you grew up in Seattle root for the Lakers. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, but I grew up in Chicago and I root for the Lakers. But Clippers don't even enhance my choice even more. You know what I mean? The Lakers are good, but they're not going to beat the Clippers. They cannot beat the Clippers or the Rockets because it's too much on LeBron. They only have AD and LeBron. The playoffs, they're going to lock that down. Who's going to step up for them? Danny Green, yeah, he might step up. But other than that, they don't have a bench. LeBron is getting watered down a little bit. The Clippers got too many weapons. At the end of the day, unless LeBron just turned to, you know, 2013 LeBron, that's the only way I see the Lakers winning.
And so, fans, you didn't hear that. You've been hearing that all season from me. But now you hear it from our guest host, Mr. Kari Jones. Sleep on. Now you hear it. What's your thoughts on what's your retort?
You know, I have heard that perspective, and I'm not going to 100% say you're wrong. I think quite a bit of the pressure is on Anthony Davis and LeBron James. However, I would prefer it be on those two than probably any other two in the league right now. And I think that the players they put around them have been a lot more complimentary than they initially were even thinking. I mean, Dwight Howard has had definitely a resurrection in his career. I don't know when JaVale McGee has played this well. And so long as Avery Bradley, Danny Green, and my man Kuzma can spread the court a little bit, you know, a few timely threes by KCP, and, you know, they'll be just fine. Of course, there is that guy playoff Rajon Rondo, who's different than his regular season Rajon Rondo. The question is going to come down to whether the Clippers can make more shots or not. I mean, they're a gritty, gutty team. Obviously, Kawhi can put you on your back, on his back, and carry you a long ways. I'm just not sure he can carry you through, you know, a wall with Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the other side. That's all I'm saying.
I got you. Well, so we'll see how things transpire. I mean, it gives us a lot to look forward to. Now, Mr. Kari, again, I know you're on your way to Chicago.
Yes, here
tomorrow.
Super excited to be in Chicago this week.
There's been some significant changes made to the All-Star event, the All-Star game on Sunday.
Yeah.
As we know, the Rising Star event, the three-point shooting contest and the dunk contest is kind of the pearl of the weekend. However, the All-Star game, they made some significant changes. A game for $300,000 for the first quarter, the first three quarters, one through three. They keep a running total. Each quarter is going to be a game in itself. The winning team gets to donate $100,000 to a local charity, which I think is a good thing. But then the fourth quarter is going to take that a cumulative leading score at 24 for your guy Kobe Bryant. A tribute, and then that'll identify the winner. So through three quarters, if Team LeBron has 100 points, Team Giannis has 95 points, they'll add the 24 points, then it'll be 124 will be the mark that they're shooting for, and whoever gets there to 124 first wins. What do you think about that format?
Yeah, I mean, anything that can be possibly on the Kobe, I think it's a great idea. You know what I mean? I think that's cool. I know you got a different perspective on that. You know, some of the guys they already don't play hard, so it's just I got to see it honestly to really set the stone to see how it's gonna play out. But other than that, you know, I just think for them honoring Kobe, I think I really appreciate that. You know, and I think the players will appreciate that well, and the viewers.
Mr. Cleveland, your thoughts on that?
You know, to be perfectly honest with you, Cam, I appreciate the way that you explain that, because every way that I have read it or heard it, I never quite understood how it was going to work. But now that I understand it from the way that you're explaining it, it's kind of cool. It's kind of a little bit of a different nuance. I think every once in a while it's okay to kind of, you know, spruce up the game a little bit with a few things. I don't want to see it, you know, be a thing where they're tinkering with it, all different aspects of the game all the time. But the way that you explained it, I definitely think that it's a cool idea. You know, even though you might be up by five, it's the first person to win 24. And, you know, that kind of sets the bar. And you just have to play to a mark adverse, you know, to the end of the whistle. So, you know, I think it's going to have an interesting little spin to it.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting spin because it's different. I think that, sorry about that, fans. We crashed in the spot here at USC Gaming Center, and we're getting run out of the storage room here. We might get run out of the storage room before too long. I think changing the All-Star, because we know, what do we know of Kobe? Focus, determined, play hard, play through the whistle, et cetera. I think maybe the All-Star trophy, is it Bill Russell trophy now? I think it maybe should have been Kobe Bryant trophy. Kobe Bryant MVP.
The thing is, I'm not sure if they're gonna do it. Cause I'm gonna keep it real. The NBA, they like Kobe. They really, they didn't really appreciate Kobe. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, they robbed him of his MVP. Let's not forget about that. Let's not forget about that. So, like, you know, I don't think they're going to change that. You know what I mean? So, I got a lot more to say, but.
I mean, go ahead. Let the people know. This is the voice of the fans.
I'm just saying the media world really didn't like Kobe like that. They still trying to bash him like that. That was an agenda, what they did with the whole Gail King situation. You know what I'm saying? That's
no,
all.
Whose agenda?
The media.
You think they picked Gail King
for
that?
Yes, that's what they do. Yes, they do. That's what they did.
Yeah, you done went down a rabbit hole with that one.
No, I did not.
I'm not.
That's what they do. They send our own people to come, you know, tarnish our legacy. That's what they do. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I do appreciate how the NBA is paying homage to that, you know, to the whole, to Kobe.
So, for fans, for those of you who don't know, I have to welcome Kahari back to the Voice of the Fans. He was on us in the summertime during the NBA Finals.
Yes.
And then the commute from L.A. to Oakland, we determined that Kahari Jones is a conspiracy theorist. So we know he has a variety of conspiracies that's bouncing around in regard to the NBA. So I don't know if I'm going to go that far with you, big guy. Cleavon, do you think Ms. Gail King was sent by some authorities to kind of open the wound?
She was sent. Gail King was sent.
I don't know if she was sent. I don't know if, you know, she's a quote-unquote mole or spy or double agent or whatever. What I do know is that Kobe Bryant is a polarizing figure and that his popularity has well surpassed all of the other things about him. However, we're in such an information, social media society at this point that those other things keep surfacing, and it makes your definition of a hero is somewhat skewed because you have this other thing about it. So that's what's been on the other side. Most people can just accept Kobe for what he was, you know, a tremendous basketball player, one of the greatest competitors that's ever been in any sport, and just kind of leave it at that and be, you know, within their own self to, you know, kind of mourn the loss however they do it. But there's this other side that kind of makes him not so Teflon, and that's the part that people pick on. And I think that's the part that Kahani is kind of trying to allude to, is that they kind of sit somewhere and they kind of pick on that part. And so I think that there's a little bit to that. Why it would be her, I'm not quite sure, but you're the only one that has kind of made that point.
Well, we're not going to give that any more life on the Voice of Fans podcast.
Okay.
We're not gonna give it much.
Overall, I do appreciate the, you know, how they pay homage to Kobe, and I like how it's Kobe focused as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
let's let that linger on as long as possible.
And there's gonna be more tributes, I'm sure, over the weekend. Let us know. Follow Kahari. Where can the people find you at, Kahari?
KHAJonesJr.com. So Kahari Jones Jr. On Instagram, on all social media platforms, and I will be asking players questions about Kobe. I will be asking LeBron about Kobe. Everybody who looked up to him, I will be asking these players about Kobe. So, guys, follow me. I'm gonna put my heart and soul into this weekend because this is my hometown, Chicago, and I'm just excited, you know.
So make sure when we follow you now, you give some update on what the tributes are for Kobe throughout the weekend at the various events. Before we let you go, we're going to announce our top five. We're doing this now throughout for the rest of the basketball season. Our top five in the East, our top five in the West. Cleavon, I'm going to read Cleavon's list off, and fans, don't laugh at yet. Just let me get through the list. In the East, he has Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia at number three, Boston, and Miami. How do you have Philadelphia? They're struggling right now. The Philadelphia have been struggling. I don't know how they're ahead of Boston or Miami. They're in the top five. I agree with you. I have them in the top five as well. So I have Milwaukee. I have Toronto. But I have Boston and Miami and then Philly. Why do you have Philly?
Can I tell you why I have Philadelphia at number three?
I'm eager to know. I'm eager to hear it.
Sure. Because they were actually able to finally put it together and have Embiid and Simmons play a complete game together. And they took out the third best team in the West, the Los Angeles Clippers, pretty handily at home. They're actually 25-2. They've beaten the Clippers. They've beaten the Lakers. They've beaten the Nuggets. They've beaten all the top-tier teams in the West. So although their record may not reflect it, they actually are the third most talented team in the East. And the beating down of the Los Angeles Clippers a few days ago was kind of what kind of pushed me over the edge for that one.
So, okay, I thank you for bringing that out and letting the people know where you come from. So you're saying that the trade, that the trade of Marcus Morris going to the Clippers allowed, because that trade detracts from the Clippers and the Philadelphia 76ers beating that team, you're giving them credit for beating that team. I don't know. It sounds like you're talking out both sides of your mouth on that one. Philadelphia, they did. That was one game. That was one game that day. That was one game. And they're kind of overdue for a good game, aren't they? Aren't they, Philadelphia, overdue for a big game? What's your thoughts, Mr.
That game was – I mean, that game, to me, meant absolutely nothing. They was just hyped up because Tobias Harris really wanted to beat that team.
There you go.
It was a mental thing, you know what I'm saying? But I don't – but Clippers can't – they got to stop allowing it to happen. But for two, three years, I never understood why people I've been telling you, I don't understand why people keep saying Philly is going to win. They have showed absolutely nothing.
Well,
they wasn't put a hype because they have stars in Ben Simmons and Joel B, but I never really saw, like, why are they going
to
be a good
team. Actually, to be honest with you, I actually had them winning the East because I thought the addition of Al Horford was going to kind of solidify the squad.
Why? He's old.
He's old, but he's a veteran.
Oh,
he's a veteran. He offers the veteran leadership. You saw what he was able to do in Boston.
He never
to elevate Boston. He was able to elevate Boston to make them a top four the last couple of years. What do you mean? He was the leader on that team. He was the leader on that team.
Wow.
So I thought him, his leadership, his knowledge.
He can only do so much. You got to hoop.
Well, yeah, that's true. And he hasn't done. And then he takes away from what we're seeing and what we have seen is he actually takes away from what Embiid does on the court. So that has detracted them, but they're still a good team. So I have them number five in the East. But that's interesting that you have them third in the East over Boston and Miami, Mr. Cleveland. So let's go to your team. Let's go to your Western Conference top five. You have the Lakers, the Denver Nuggets, the Clippers, Houston, and Utah. So if you say the Clippers aren't really any good, why don't you have Houston elevated above them and their small ball tactics that they're trying to run?
Well, the small ball is a new experiment, Cameron. Like I said, it really is predicated – its success is predicated on how well James Harden and Russell Westbrook shoot. And although we know that they both can get, you know, white hot, super flaming hot, and burn the arena down, they can also go ice cold. So in a seven-game series, if they have two or three games like that, you know, that's going to be unfortunate. The Clippers, on the other hand, can make up for whether they're not shooting well or not with their defensive prowess. They're rebounding, and, you know, they play some well, you know, a cohesive unit together. So that's why I had the Clippers at number three, followed by the Houston Rockets at number four.
So I have Clippers at number two, and I have Denver Nuggets at number three. And I think evidence in the Denver Nuggets not being ready was seen last night when LeBron was doing everything he can last night to give that game away, shooting jumpers. At least he didn't go to the fadeaway three-pointer to close out the game in regulation, but he just shot a jumper instead of going to the hole. They're leaving Anthony Davis wide open for three-pointers. I thought that game last night was evidence of them, the Denver Nuggets, not being able to close. And who knows, maybe that's because Michael Porter Jr. wasn't on the court and they didn't have a go-to guy. I don't know. Having Jokic at the top of the key at the three-point line for a game-winning shot, that's a bad strategy, in my opinion. I haven't seen enough from him to say, I'm going to go to him, let him shoot a three, let him will and deal, get to the bucket. I haven't seen enough from that guy. So I think, actually, three is a little high for him, but I have them third in the West because of their record. I think all collectively they're a better team than Houston. And then Utah's, although they're playing hot, they have a good momentum, I think Denver could beat Utah and Houston. That's my justification. What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts on these rankings, Card?
I don't like either of you guys' rankings.
Well, who do you have? Can you give us your top five in the West?
I like Toronto at number one for the East.
Okay.
Toronto at number one. Miami at number two. I got Miami
at number two.
Miami's number two.
And this is, folks, I'll let you know that Kahari, on our way up to cover the finals, he did call Toronto in six games.
They was calling me. They called me out. They said, why are you reporting? They said, you shouldn't be a reporter. They called me out type of names.
I got that on tape. I heard him say it. I asked him why. I was questioning him, too, all on the way to Oakland. But he did call Toronto in six, so I'll give you credit. And that was injury before KD's injury. Even when KD came back, he still said Toronto's going to be a six. So I'll give you credit for that. So you got You got Toronto at number one.
Toronto at number one.
You got Miami at number two.
Miami number two.
Ahead of Milwaukee Bucks.
Can I finish my five out?
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
I said Miami and okay. Toronto number one. Miami number two. Milwaukee at number three. I got Boston number four. And it's really nobody else. I got Philly at number five.
Okay.
Even though they have no chance.
Okay.
I have,
so you still have the same teams. You just got to
mix
them up.
Down.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. And Cleveland, you want to comment on his list there, top five in the East?
It's curious. The only reason that I would the only critique that I have of it is that I don't think that Miami has enough scoring, although I do think that Bam Adebayo has been a blessing for them, and they are tenacious. Butler, Iguodala, and Bam, that's pretty rough to deal with, but I just don't think they have enough shooting to be the number two team.
Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler.
That's not really consistent shooting. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, he's right. He's right. But like I said, I'm gonna steal my take.
Okay. So give me.
I take the Sixers off my number five, and I put the Pacers.
You put the Pacers at number five.
Yeah, I put the Pacers at number five.
Okay. With Victor coming back. Okay. All right. So, give us your top five in the West.
Top five in the West, pretty much the same as you guys have. I have the Clippers number one. I have the Lakers number two. Houston number three. I got Houston number three. Jazz is number four. And Grizzlies number five.
The Grizzlies. Okay, that one for shot value. That there one for shot value. So you got Houston at number three. So you like the small ball.
I like the small ball. I think it's good for them. They're gonna speed the pace up. It opens it up for Russell. You know,
it has opened it up for Russell. Yeah.
Because I was kind of iffy about the trade too. Like, why would you trade Clint Capella? That threw me way off. But I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to switch it up.
You didn't like Capella anyway, though.
I did like Capella. I never had an issue with Capella.
Okay.
I like Capella.
Okay.
I don't like the way James Harden plays.
That's it.
I don't think his strategy playing basketball is. I don't like it.
I was telling you. I was telling you. You said nobody likes playing with James Harden. I was telling you Capella did like him playing with Harden.
Yeah. Like Capella probably won't do. He probably won't ever play. You know,
he's not gonna get that same production.
Ever again. Well, he plays like James Harden.
Well, he's not gonna get it in Miami or with Atlanta.
No.
I don't know if
he might.
Trae Young assists him.
So
he might give him some lobs. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Kahari, man, I know you want to go out here and get some interviews. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you for having me on here, man.
Let's take a break, big guy. Enjoy Chicago.
Yeah. All right, Cleveland. Nice talking to you, man.
And we want that footage from you, big guy.
For sure.
All right, big guy. All right, fans, once again, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Thank Mr. Kahari Jones. Check him out, Motivated Purposes, for tuning in. Cleveland, this weekend, man, we had another rendition of the XFL kickoff this weekend. Did you have a chance to see the Seattle Dragons play?
You know, I did miss the Dragons game, and after I did miss it, I was getting texts. I felt a little guilty, so I did jump on the second game, the New York game, the New York Tampa game, and watch a little bit of that. You know, a few minutes here and there of a few of the other games, but that's the game I mostly focused on.
Okay. So in watching the game, what was your biggest takeaway from the first weekend of the XFL?
That the quality of football is not bad. I didn't really know what to expect given the way the XFL kind of had its inaugural, season, 20-plus years ago and kind of how that went. Again, having watched so much football, I tend to kind of gravitate towards either teams that I know or people that I know. The XFL and its reboot has neither. So although the quality of football is not bad, it's still not enough to really grab my full attention when I either know players that are playing or have a better interest in what the team is doing, then I'll probably have a little bit more interest in the league.
Okay, but as far as the innovations, did you see any innovations that you like? What did you like the kickoff? Did you like the real-time audio? What innovations out there did you like the refs on-demand refs that they had out there, kind of changing the plays up when you saw them? What innovations did you see and appreciate?
As far as the innovations, the one I liked the most is was the extra point, the no kicking. You know, it's either 1, 2, or 3 points from whatever distance that you want to, you know, take it from. I like that idea. That's pretty cool. Definitely puts pressure on the team that's scoring the touchdown to do something with it, and it also makes it so the other team is never really fully out of it. I mean, you know, there could be, 9 point scoring drives for that matter.
Yeah, that is a new change, and something I think from what I'm hearing that the NFL might consider adopting, because, again, just for that point you said, nobody's really out that far out of the game, because if it's a 9 point game in the past, that game is over, you change the channel. Now with the addition of that 3 point play, it could actually extend the game and extend the interest of fans. So good point. Good call on your point. Mr. Cleavon, I tell you what, man, it's been really cool to not only do this show as long as we've been doing it, as many years as we've been doing it, but my foray into this media industry has been really fun and interesting, because we get to break news, or I get to see some things kind of happen before they happen. And we hear some conversations that, sitting back on the couch, I really hadn't considered, and see things kind of transpire before mainstream media gets a hold of it. And I'm speaking specifically of this Phillip Rivers incident. If you recall, we talked about in week 6 or 7 of the NFL, which would have been mid-October, about Phillip Rivers potentially be out of L.A. and off the Chargers. We also had Eric Williams in, ESPN Chargers beat writer. We talked about him a few weeks ago, kind of what the Chargers might consider doing. So in that respect, has it been a shock to you to hear that Phillip Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers had parted ways last week?
It has been a shock, but kudos to you for putting yourself in a position to kind of be where, you know, you have your finger on the pulse of the NFL, like very few others do, just to kind of be in some of those rooms and hear kind of those conversations that just kind of start as really crazy, wild rumors until they actually come to fruition. And then everybody goes, oh, that's exactly what Cam was talking about. And it's kind of weird to see that happen, because from just a normal perspective, you would think, well, he's played his entire career there on the West Coast, and, you know, for one franchise, and, you know, he's not that far. He's only one season removed from a playoff season. So, you know, you would think that conventional wisdom would say, you know, he's going to stay put and do what everyone thinks he will. But here you have it. It's, you know, February 2020, and that is not the case. He is out there looking for a job just like everybody else. Not quite sure he's going to find what he's looking for, but it is interesting to see how the tables are turned.
Now, there's been rumors that as far as I first kind of heard about that information, but as far back as I say November, December, as we realized that Tom Brady may have played his last days in Foxborough, where I disagree with that. I think Tom Brady, at the end of the day, Tom Brady's going to end up being back with the Patriots. However, as of this moment, as of today, there are rumors that Tom Brady could go to the Raiders. Tom Brady can go to the 49ers. That they plan, the Chargers plan on replacing Phillip Rivers with Tom Brady. That is out there. I think that would be a bad idea, as we talked about with Erica here a few weeks ago. Have you heard Cam Newton to the Chargers?
I have not heard that rumor. I believe the through the season, the ones that we thought were most viable would be Chicago or Tennessee going forward. But, you know, the more you talk about it, you know, you kind of like the thought of Cam Newton being out there on the West Coast, you know, playing in that warm weather a few more times. And that might be something that could help resurrect his career, you know. Not saying that he didn't have a fairly decent situation in Carolina, but, you know, the Chargers have a really good defense and, you know, a really good running game. So, and, you know, receivers that he can throw to. So, you know, bringing him to kind of anoint their new stadium doesn't sound like a bad idea to me.
I don't know if I agree with that idea. In fact, I do not agree with Cam to the Chargers. I think, as we stated months ago, I think Cam's best opportunity to play right away would be with the Chicago Bears, Denver Broncos. I don't think him to the Chargers, him in L.A., is a good mix, and I'll leave it at that. But where do you think Brady could end up? Do you think the Raiders, the Niners, or the Patriots would be the best fit for him?
I think the best fit for him is probably still in New England. Who do I think is going to be the team that is most, how should I put this, most attractive to him? It would probably be the Raiders.
Yeah, how would you like that? Tom Brady playing with Chucky. Do you think that's a good mix there?
I think that's a funny dynamic. I mean, you know, although, you know, Chucky has all of his antics, let's not forget, he is, deeply rooted in the West Coast, you know, offense and system and, you know, trained under Holmgren along with Andy Reid. And, you know, you see how effective that can work if you have the right tools around you. So I don't think that the Raiders are in any way, shape, form, or fashion going to be able to put a competitive team around Tom Brady. But I think that that's the most kind of interesting and entertainment value sake.
That would be a great way to put it, interesting in the entertainment value aspect. Now, this has went on for far too long, I think. I've already made it clear I would not give Dak over $30 million. But Dak is asking for $40 million, Cleveland. Do you get Dak do you give Dak $40 million or do you franchise Dak?
I get the way that his math is working, which is why he's asking for that number. I think that if you're not willing to give him, let's say, split the middle, then you probably should just cut bait with him. I mean, because you are not in a position to go forward without a franchise quarterback. And as we've seen with Kirk Cousins, you can franchise him once, but after that second time, it gets real, real, real expensive to do that. So if it's not someone that you're going to be committed to and it's not someone that you're waiting to see a little bit more, then I think it's, you know, time to move on. I think part of what the problem is with Dak is that you kind of see what you get and you kind of feel like there's a ceiling to where his game can go and you're not really 100% sure that ceiling can take you to a Super Bowl. You're really sure that it can keep you in a lot of games and it can give you consistent play from that position, but can it take you to that next level? And I think that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things transpire right now. All right, Cleveland, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about on this date in history and then get more back into the NBA All-Star events this weekend.
The people at What's Good to Sports want to talk to you, talk to the fans, and make sure you guys tune into the website. Cleveland, have you seen the What's Good in Sports website?
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. Lots of positive stories and lots of great content.
The people, they told me personally, make sure you guys go visit the website. So please, when you get a chance after the show, check out the whatsgoodinsports.com website.
All right, once again, fans, we're on location here at the Galen Center, so excuse the background sounds that you're hearing as fans and USC band members are getting ready for the game here against the Washington Huskies. Excuse me, are visiting USC Trojans here for a Pac-12 basketball game here at Galen Center downtown Los Angeles. On this date in history, 1977, or let me take it back further, 2012, 1909. The NAACP was founded after the riots in Springfield, Illinois. So the NAACP goes back over 100 years, Cleveland, back to 1909. When you say 1900s, man, it sounds like so long ago, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
In 1923, the first pro basketball team was established. The Renaissance, New York Renaissance, 1923. That was actually on this day, 213. So another fun fact for you guys. 1977, 2000, or excuse me, February 11th, Clifford Alexander was the first black Secretary of State. He was confirmed back in February 11th, 2000, or 1977, excuse me. So that was, what, 43 years ago, so a long time ago. In 1990, on February 11th, Nelson Mandela, leader of the Movement for Democracy in South Africa, was released from prison after 27 years. Oh, my goodness. 27 years he was in there because he wanted to bring democracy to South Africa, a place that he was born and raised, and they put him in jail for it, Cleveland. Can you believe that?
All for wanting to abolish apartheid. Yeah, that's a rough one.
So, we, as has been clearly established here on the show, Cleveland fans is a bandwagon Laker jumper. Not sure when the date was that he jumped on the wagon, but he is for some time now. And let's ask Mr. Laker lover, who would you rather have on your team, J.R. Smith or Dion Waiters?
Wow. I guess the lesser evils would be Dion Waiters.
Well, the funny thing is, we were in the locker room a couple weeks ago, and I had a chance to go interview Dion Waiters. And because of the rumors, we had just heard that Waiters was being traded. I thought it would have been a great time to interview him. But I just elected not to. I think I went and got James Johnson, who ended up getting traded a couple nights ago himself. But the rumors were Dion Waiters was getting traded in the Iguodala trade, so we didn't expect him to go on the floor. That's why nobody kind of approached him. But now he's a free man, and you want Dion Waiters over J.R. Smith, huh? I think he's younger. I think he's younger, and he probably has a little bit more. I mean, they're both loose cannons, but I think he has a little more game right now than J.R. Smith does. So I think that would be a good pick. I would go with Waiters too, out of the two guys. With the All Star, we know there's multiple events. As we talked about, they're doing something special during the All Star game. They have the skills contest, the dunk contest. What are you most looking forward to in this? What are you looking forward to? Which event are you looking forward to in the NBA All Star weekend?
Well, the event that you always, you know, see amazing happen is always going to be the slam dunk contest. As I've gotten older, I have kind of gravitated towards the three-point contest just to really see who kind of comes out there and kind of tries to establish himself as, you know, I am the best shooter in the league type of thing. It's ironic. You would think that Steph and Clay would have more of these in their trophy collection, but, you know, they don't have as many as you would think. So sometimes who you think is going to win that contest doesn't always win it. It's interesting to see who kind of, you know, comes out of the woodwork, so to speak.
Where does the skills contest, where does that fall in your barometer of All-Star weekend contest? Is that a go get your nachos and popcorn?
That's a go get your nachos, make that quick run to the store, do all those errands that you forgot to do before it's time to get back and watch some real basketball.
Okay. I kind of like the skills contest. I mean, it can be improved, but I do like the skills contest. Now, I don't know if they're doing it this weekend, but what was your thoughts when they had the WNBA mixed with the NBA players? What were your thoughts on that kind of combination aspect?
You know, very cool. It's probably one of the few opportunities that they would have to do something like that to kind of incorporate stars from both leagues, and I'm sure it's very fan friendly and probably a lot more competitive than a lot of those guys would care to admit until they had to be out there guarding some of those leagues.
What changes would you like to see involved with the All-Star game?
I don't know as I would want to see any changes really made. I think a lot of the different things that they've done to kind of try and add excitement to the weekend definitely, you know, pique my interest. We'll kind of see how they how they transpire, but I can't really say any one particular thing I would change about it.
Okay. Like I said earlier, I'd like to see him named the MVP, All-Star MVP Award after Kobe Bryant. Somehow I asked Doc Rivers this question about how can they make the game more competitive, and I'm sure you can just guess what he said. It's all about raise the stakes, make it a winner gets all type of deal. Obviously, we want to take care of the players and their families that travel to the city where the games are played. But if you don't win, you don't get paid, whatever the stakes are. And I think that in itself, regardless of what the stakes are, whether it's $500,000 a piece or $1 million a piece, whatever the stakes are, if the losing team doesn't get paid, I think that would increase the competition level. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm cool with this game kind of being an exhibition. I know it had been more competitive in days past, and you know there was a little something to be said for that. But as there's just more events that kind of go on over the weekend, and it becomes a whole 5 to 7 day thing, the who really wins and who really loses is not really that big of a thing, honestly. I think it's one of the few sports where you can just have an exhibition and kind of have, players just kind of show off what it is that they can do, kind of, the repertoire of their game, what they're famous for, so on and so forth, as opposed to, football. It's just too physical, so you can't do that. And baseball, I mean, there's just too many players and, it's pitching and hitting and, stealing bases and that kind of thing. So it's too hard to kind of dictate and kind of get a rhythm to a game. So I'm okay with it being just for fun. Someone has to win, someone has to lose, but this thing where it has to be all hardcore, you don't get paid if you don't win, it's a little over the top.
No, we want to see some competition, man. We don't want to just see them out there, lollygagging and dilly-dallying around, and that's what we end up seeing for, 3.5 quarters. And if it's close, they'll turn it on in the end, but how often has it been close? Once again, Mr. Cleveland, I want to thank you as always for joining us. Thank you for your participation. I'm going to end tonight's show with a quote from who else? Who other than Mr. Kobe Bryant? Sports are such a great teacher. Levon, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I want to thank Mr. Kahari Jones for joining us as well. But I'm going to end this with a quote from Mr. Kobe Bryant. Sports are such a great teacher. I think of everything they've taught me: camaraderie, humility, how to resolve differences. Once again, sports is such a great teacher. I think of everything they've taught me: camaraderie, humility, how to resolve differences. And that's from Mr. Kobe Bryant. And that's real life there, because sports is such a great teacher. I learned leadership from playing sports. I learned teamwork from playing sports. I learned work ethic. I learned how to, if you show up, be your best, you get playing time. I learned that from playing sports, man. And I bet that you'd have the same thoughts.
Most definitely. I learned how to channel my inner spirit, how to dig deep within myself, how to face adversity, how to face success, how to share it with others, how to take leadership from other people and incorporate it into your own style to, use it and to teach someone else. So all those things come from playing sports.
Hey, yes, so that's a great quote by Mr. Kobe Bryant. Fans, as always, want to thank you guys for tuning in to the Voice of the Fans podcast. Donate your pocket change to our show. Your donations will be immediately repurposed for the betterment of our Voice of the Fans podcast. More importantly, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. And as always, I want to thank you guys for making our voice your choice. Talk to you soon.
Good night, Cam.
Thanks for making our voice your choice.